Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this really is a big news story here. I was talking with our friend David Noble about how you could call this the Trump W of the week, the Trump win of the week. Yesterday, the president in the Oval Office with several folks from the U.S. auto industry, including the CEO of Ford, Jim Farley, in the Oval Office yesterday, talking about President Trump's efforts to do away with these ridiculous emissions standards that Joe Biden was trying to force, not only on the U.S. auto industry, but trying to force on you. One of my favorite lines from former Senator Conrad Burns, a Republican senator from Montana back in the day, you know, and now it's been almost 20 years since he served in the United States Senate. But, when the Enviro wackos were very early on pushing these government emissions standards to undermine the American economy and so much more. You know, look, if you live in a concrete jungle like New York City or Los Angeles, okay, you can drive around in your tiny little car and save gas money. Good for you. You as the consumer can choose to do that. But the thing Conrad would always say is he says, you can't haul a heifer with a Geo Metro, right? Now, some of you are too young. You're like, what, Geo Metro? What's that? What's that? Or maybe you're driving one around as a kid because, you know, that's the only thing you can afford, you know, 20-some years later to drive around. But nonetheless, it's the point being is that, like, here in Montana, look, we drive a lot of miles. So if you're just driving across the state doing a normal commute, yeah, you can choose to purchase a car that gets high gas mileage, so that you can, you know, drive, you know, from one corner to the other and save money, right? But for a lot of us, you're hauling heifers, you're hauling horses, especially if you're heading down to the NFR in Las Vegas and you're one of the competitors. You're going to need something with power. You're hauling a camper. You're hauling a boat so you can get out there and enjoy the great outdoors. You need something with power and reliability. And so we get it here in Montana. But this is the Ford CEO in the Oval Office yesterday.
Today is the victory of common sense and affordability. We're very proud of Ford to be the number one auto producer in our country. 80% of the vehicles we sell here we make in our country. Right. And we never left, unlike many of our competitors. We're the number one exporter, and we have the most auto factory workers. And this CAFE standard that is aligned with customer demand is the right move for a lot of reasons. We were number two last year in EV sales. We were number three in hybrid, and we're the leading brand for combustion. We believe that people should be able to make a choice, as you said, Mr. President, and we will invest more in affordable vehicles. This allows us to invest in affordable vehicles made in the U.S., which we will take the lead on, and will allow us to make vehicles more affordable. So thank you for making this step for all of you.
Yeah, President Trump dodged a bullet for this country. But you look at, with President Trump being back in office right now, how many bullets is this country dodging? Thanks to President Trump being back in office instead of a Joe Biden, or maybe even worse, could it be any worse, with a Kamala Harris sitting in that Oval Office instead.
Might be. When someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I finally got a chance, by the way, to read this guest opinion column in the Wall Street Journal by Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, a GOP playbook for an affordability offensive, and well-written piece. But more importantly, I like the tone. I like the underlying message here, which is the GOP needs to throttle down. The GOP needs to continue to deliver A lot has been accomplished here over the past, you know, 11 months or so of the Trump administration. But a lot more is being demanded by we the people right now. Tim Sheehy obviously gets it. Here we go from the Wall Street Journal. By the way, phone lines are open for you if you got something you want to talk about here this morning as well. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. But, you know, we talk about energy and what President Trump just did on these emissions standards. That is President Trump working to once again deliver when it comes to affordability for the American people. These emission standards, Europe, this is part of what David Noble and I were talking about. Europe has actually decimated their economies. So many of their European country economies have been decimated by reducing their usage of fossil fuels, by embracing the green agenda that Joe Biden and the Democrats were trying to shove down our throats here in the United States of America as well. Why do you think electricity prices went up nationwide 30% under Joe Biden's tenure? Well, Europe followed through with it. And there are now several European countries that have economies smaller than the state of Arkansas. Remember when people used to make jokes about, oh, Mississippi and Arkansas on education, on the economy? Well, Mississippi's laughing at Minnesota right now because Mississippi is doing better with education numbers than Minnesota is, even though Minnesota spends a boatload more money on education than Mississippi does. Arkansas, a larger economy. Of course, they got a great governor there in Arkansas with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Arkansas has a bigger economy than a lot of these European countries right now because they embraced this radical Green New Deal agenda. And it's decimated their economies. But this is exactly what America was on the path towards under the 4 years of the Joe Biden, John Tester regime when the Montana Democrats were running the show back there. Here's what Tim Sheehy says in this. It's a few days ago now, a guest opinion column in the Wall Street Journal. President Trump has honored his promises. The border is secure, fiscal discipline is returning, and trillions in investments have poured into the U.S. Yet one stubborn problem remains. The inflation that the Biden-Harris administration unleashed is crushing working families. Many Americans are still asking, what's next? For millions of families, the math doesn't work. Rent eats half the paycheck. A week's groceries cost what a car payment used to. One hospital bill can wipe out a year's savings. Senator Sheehy writes, the left's answer is almost always the same. Build more bureaucracy and throw more subsidies at the problem. We've tried that for decades. The result has been the most expensive housing in the developed world. Grocery prices still 25 to 30% higher than pre-pandemic levels, and health insurance premiums that climb faster than wages every year. Republicans should use their control of Congress and the White House to implement a new strategy that champions competition, deregulation, and empowering Americans over faceless government bureaucrats. He points to housing in particular. Senator Sheehy writing that housing supply constraints have driven up costs for years. The median home price exceeds $400,000, and rents consume more than 30% of many households' income, making for the highest rent-to-income ratio since 1980. We must figure out a way to build housing faster and cheaper. Grocery prices are up more than 30% since 2019. Four corporate giants control 85% of the meatpacking market, squeezing ranchers, hiking consumer prices, and padding their margins. Aggressive enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act can break that oligopoly and force real competition. When cronyism gives way to the free market, prices at the checkout will drop. He says that principle applies in healthcare too. The same aspirin costs 4 cents at Walmart and $82 in a hospital 2 miles away because patients shop blind. every developed country that spends half what we do on the on healthcare has mandatory price transparency. We don't, because the hospital lobby fights it. Let's force hospitals to post real prices up front, just like gas stations do. Turn patients into consumers and watch the costs plummet. And then he starts to wrap his guest opinion column in the Wall Street Journal by saying this. The 2024 landslide was not a pat on the back. It was a demand. Americans voted for paychecks that stretch further and the return of the basic American promise. Work hard, play by the rules, and you can get ahead. We now control the White House, the Senate, and the House. There are no more excuses. Deliver an all-out affordability offensive. Rip up red tape, force transparency, and unleash competition, or watch the mandate evaporate by 2026. This is bigger than the next election. It's the difference between a Republican resurgence that lasts a generation and a one-term detour. Conservative ideas work. Now we have to prove it, not with words, but with results families can feel at the kitchen table and the gas pump.
My Securing America.
Wednesday, several law enforcement agencies in Georgia announced the results of a cooperative effort late last month, which resulted in a major drug seizure. North Georgia U.S. Attorney Theodore Hertzberg.
Approximately 1,600 pounds of deadly Mexican cartel trafficked methamphetamine, which remains a significant scourge in our community.
The meth was in several trucks and hidden in shipments of blackberries. Paul Brown is the special agent in charge of the FBI's Atlanta office.
Although this was a significant disruption to drug trafficking here in Georgia, we're not satisfied with this alone.
Two people were arrested in the case, including an undocumented migrant. Chris Hosey is the director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
This fight will continue, keeping our communities and states safe from this kind of evil that exists.
Hidden Rescue, Fox News.
It's from Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is very interesting. This is something that just caught my eye. Yeah, kind of funny. I wasn't even planning on necessarily even talking about that guest opinion column in the Wall Street Journal. But then and it was so well written and it made such a good point that I was like, hey, let's just share a whole chunk of this guest opinion column. Hey, do you got something you want to share? Give us a call, 406-294-0970. We do have, coming up next hour of the show, we've got Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, out of Savage. He's going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour of the show with an interim update. You know, obviously the Montana legislature only meets for their regular session, for their legislative session, every other year. So it's basically a quick 3 to 4 month legislative session every other year. But there's a lot of work that gets done and a lot of things that get worked on during the interim. And so he's going to give us an interim update here in less than 1 hour. Of course, we'll be taking your phone calls for that conversation as well. But this story just caught my eye. I just got an alert from Truth Social, President Trump's social media platform. This one comes from justthenews.com, which is a credible outfit. You guys probably know John Solomon. We've quoted him before here on this show. He says the FBI has made an arrest in connection with pipe bombs planted near the Republican and Democrat National Committee in Washington, D.C. on the eve of January 6th. Now I got to go into our Fox News affiliate, Fox News Radio affiliate website here to see if they have a story on this as well. So, because it sounds like it's just breaking. Remember, what was that, like a month ago or so? It must have been on a Tuesday because, well, or actually it broke. The story broke the weekend before, but we talked about it with John Jackson, the Joker from X, one Tuesday where, so the Blaze.com came out with this story where they said, hey, we believe we have identified the January 6th pipe bomber suspect. And they claimed that it was a female former Capitol Police officer. And anyway, that was the story back then. Well, now they're saying that the person, this is from justthenews.com, the person arrested is a male, and the arrest included the FBI going to a house in Northern Virginia, a senior law enforcement official told Just the News. Let's see. A second senior law enforcement official said the break in the case came when the agency assigned a new team to the case that began to evaluate the case with new tools. The second official also said the FBI has yet to learn the suspect's motive and that the investigation continues. So anyway, that alert just came in from justthenews.com that they're saying that a suspect has been arrested by the FBI. So there you go. Now I got to see what other alerts might have come in the meantime from in addition to that one. Here we go. Breaking news from Fox News as well. I missed this one earlier. All right. Probably was in the update at the top of the hour, and I was too busy making a cup of coffee or something. But, yeah, even Fox News is reporting here a suspect who allegedly planted pipe bombs blocks from the U.S. Capitol on January 5th, 2021, is now in federal custody. The FBI arrested the suspect, a male living in Virginia, early Thursday morning. The man in custody is named Brian Cole, two sources said. Isn't it interesting, you know, now that President Trump is in office, and now that there is a new FBI director, Kash Patel, and a new FBI deputy director, Dan Bongino, who many of you know so well. Wow, now all of a sudden we're actually finding criminals. This was like treated like the greatest mystery in the universe when Joe Biden's team was in charge. Well, who planted those pipe bombs on January 6th? They wanted you to, or on January 5th, they wanted you to like forget that it ever even happened. Just like they wanted you to forget that it was the Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and like the mayor of Washington, D.C., who refused to allow for more National Guard troops to provide security for January 6th. Just like they wanted you to forget that Nancy Pelosi on camera admitted that she was responsible for what took place on January 6th. And just like how we all remember how Liz Cheney, who was jumping in bed with the Democrats, was basically destroying evidence about the January 6th riots. They were destroying evidence, suppressing evidence, because they didn't want the American people to get the truth and to find out this information. And now all of a sudden we've got a new team at the FBI in charge. Oh, now all of a sudden criminals are actually being caught. And meanwhile, what are the Democrats doing? The Democrats are kicking their heels and throwing a temper tantrum in defense of criminals, whether it's the narco-terrorists in the Caribbean, illegal aliens in Belgrade, Montana, that is, or pick your blue city where the Democrats are rising up in defense of criminals. Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Democrats there are attacking Trump and downplaying the near $2 billion in fraud committed by the Somali community there. I mean, it's just crazy when you look at everything that's going on right now. Let me see. Yes. Then there's the fake news liberal media, of course. So the New York Times, this was actually really funny. So the New York Times, they got just hammered after they did this report where they were questioning Donald Trump's abilities. They were questioning Donald Trump's age. The guy just had his ninth cabinet meeting, 2 or 3 hour-long cabinet meeting, in person, live on TV, with cameras throughout the room. Joe Biden never did that, could never do that. Anyway, I saw Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He was doing this, like, sit-down forum discussion with a New York Times reporter or editor or something like that. And Scott Bessent ended up calling out the New York Times right in their faces. It was pretty hysterical. Rapid Response 47, I think, shared this one on X.
Well, you know, Sean, I made the mistake of thinking Andrew Ross Sorkin, who's on CNBC, has a much better co-host, Joe Kernan, invited me, and he said, well, we're going to have a conversation, and we got there, and he just immediately went into attack and gotcha mode, and I just couldn't take the hypocrisy of it all, and I guess he had to play to the New York Times audience, the Deal Book audience there at Lincoln Center, and I just had to fact check him, and I believe that the New York Times...
Oh, you did more than fact check him. You checkmated him.
Well, again, it's just, as they used to say on Dragnet, just the facts. And, you know, I don't read the
Joe
time,
Friday. Yeah.
I don't read the Times anymore, but people send me articles, and the last couple of articles I've gotten are just so far from the truth. And I was sitting there thinking, what are people, like, how are people going to construct the historical narrative of this great second Trump presidency in an accurate way when the supposed paper record is so far off?
All right, so that wasn't the clip that I was thinking of playing there, but that one works out well. That was actually Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, on Hannity's show last night, where he was recapping the conversation with this New York Times reporter, where he had to just straight up call him out for their blatant BS and propaganda. All right, I think I found the clip. This one actually came from the Trump War Room.
Yeah, I actually don't read the New York Times anymore. But sometimes I do watch CNBC, but you know, occasionally people send me articles, and like there's just this fever swamp. And you know, you're now a pop historian with 1929, and you know, in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the New York Times is no longer the paper of record. You can't go. I read this article. Like, President Trump is slowing down. President Trump's mental capacity. It is 100% fake. That, like, he only called me twice at 2 in the morning last week instead of 3 times.
You're saying that he called you? I believe that he called you at 2 or 3 in the morning.
That, you know, like, that whole narrative, and this is why people, like, this is why young people are going to TikTok. You know, this story, somebody sent it to me. Mike Johnson is beleaguered. He and his wife were so tired. They gave, actually, a very sympathetic and funny interview that somehow got twisted on the pages of the New York Times into this. That, you know, it's just...
Let me say this, like, though.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, he called out the New York Times right in front of their faces on that one. Tim in Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I was sharing the breaking news about how a pipe bomber suspect is now in custody, apparently has been arrested by the FBI. And, yeah, it was like the greatest mystery in the universe. Who set these pipe bombs in front of the DNC and the RNC headquarters on Capitol Hill? It was treated like the greatest mystery on the universe, but yet they didn't want to talk about it. They were like, oh, no, nothing to see here, folks, under the Biden regime. And then now you got a new team like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel in place at the FBI. We have a suspect. We have a suspect. The greatest mystery in the universe is apparently no longer the greatest mystery in the universe. Tim and Savage says this. He says, Bongino was like a dog with a bone with the pipe bomb issue before he had to leave his show. He really was. Yeah, but he was hammering that topic, which was probably a big reason why Donald J. Trump asked him to give up so much. You think about, you know, how successful his show was and the vast network that he had created. And, you know, especially when you're one of those national guys, you start to make a lot of money on top of that. And Dan Bongino put it all aside to go serve in this capacity. And ding, 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 now we've got a suspect. The dog has got the bone. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Phone lines are open. 406-294-0970. Back with Montana Talks right after this. What do you want to talk about? And then later on in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, or Mondakistan, as we like to refer to it. So many different things to cover. That's why I love getting messages from you and getting your phone calls, because you will literally set the direction for the show.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. We've got our friend Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, back on the show with us. Henry, great to have you as always for our weekly update. Of course, this weekly update sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, I think the last time we talked, we ended up talking about Bill Maher. And how you were on Bill Maher's show back in, what, 2001, I think it was. And then we found the clip. You shared it with us. We got it on our Montana Talks website. Man, that was so cool to see. But you know what I love most about going back and watching that Bill Maher episode from 24 years ago is you had the fire in your belly back then, and you still got the fire in your belly today. So good to have you, my friend.
I appreciate that, Aaron. Thank you so much for posting that. I did share that on my social media. I got a lot of interest, a lot of favorable comments. It was a tough time after 9/11, but great opportunity to be with Bill Maher. And it's been great to see Bill Maher's evolution. Now, there is the prime example of an honest, intellectual, classic liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You can appreciate that.
Yeah. It was interesting, too. You know, there was a feminist who was on the show with you back then. And, you know, obviously talking about Afghanistan and how horrific, you know, the Taliban was to women in particular. And I think maybe it was one of your friends on Facebook or something. They made a really good point. They're like, isn't it interesting now because so many in the feminist community are taking the opposite approach, and they're defending these radical Islamists. But anyway, that's another topic maybe for another show. Let's jump into it here. Boy, you guys really kicked up the hornet's nest but with your accountability campaign that you've unleashed on the radio, and I think even out online as well, calling out lawmakers in the state legislature for the budget and overspending. I'm seeing just a flurry of guest opinion columns, letters to the editor from all sides of the debate. So you guys really kickstarted a conversation.
That's exactly what we intended to do. Obviously one of our principles in government is openness and transparency and also accountability. So we wanted to share with voters in these districts around the state how their legislators voted on the House Bill 2, which is the General Appropriations Act, which funds all state operations. And we believe that it is an increase in the budget by 13.5% over the biennium. In fact, it was the lawmakers voted for a 17% increase, and the governor vetoed some bills to bring it back down. Now, when we got some flack from these people, we said, hey, you don't agree with our perspective on it. You actually think siphoning money off for future spending isn't an appropriation in and of itself? Then you could make that case to the public, and that's what they did. So go ahead and explain yourself as to why you didn't return that money back to the taxpayers who are being throttled with high property taxes, throttled by Bidenomics and inflation. You explain to them why your state operating budget cannot cover the needs of Montanans. And so that's what they're trying to do. And you know what? The more they explain, the better we're looking.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be fun here maybe towards the end of the year to get kind of two different Republican lawmakers, one representing the side that didn't vote for the budget, another representing the side that did vote for the budget, get two of the best spoken from each side to join us on the show for a friendly debate on the statewide airwaves would be a ton of fun here one of these days. But yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there with that's the challenge for these lawmakers that voted for that spending package is like, okay, you might have a good answer for it. Some people may think you do. Some people may think you won't. But the reality is that even the people who, in theory, got residential property tax relief, are they really going to feel it? Because I was reading a report from the Liberal Montana Free Press, and the report said that in many cases that the residential property tax relief, as they're calling it, that it only kept their bills from going up even higher. It didn't actually even lower their bottom line property tax amount. So if you delivered property tax relief, but people don't feel like they actually got it, what's the impact going to be, right?
Well, bottom line is we have a spending problem on a local level and on a statewide level, and that's what we're focused in on. And on a statewide level, we're spending greater than the population growth, and we're spending greater than inflation. So what is the justification for this increased spending? There really isn't any. So that's our point. We're expected to tighten our belts during difficult times, and we expect the government to do the very same thing. And we pointed that out. And as you mentioned earlier, there's been a slew of guest editorials and letters to the editor. My name, phone number, and email has been put out there, same with my state director. We've been criticized as being a bunch of out-of-staters. I've been here for 30-plus years. Jesse lived here his entire life, minus 10 months. A lot of our staff are born and bred in Montana. Our founding sponsor for our chapter is a Montanan. So, and we have thousands of activists around the state who are really interested in this issue, and they're responding as well. You can see that on social media. We're getting lots of engagement there with our digital ads, talking about how the budget has been set on fire. You know, if the legislators had their way who voted for it, they would have voted for an increase of 17%. Now they're claiming, oh, we're being responsible. We're putting funds aside for growth and opportunity, a trust fund. Well, several of those programs are not very popular with Montanans. One is early childhood education. That's pre-K education. The move has been away from government-led education towards a wide range of alternative education, micro schools, home schools, et cetera. So why would parents, why would Montanans want to fund education prior to kindergarten that the government would run? They don't. Workforce programs. We already have at least a half a dozen of them, including Job Service Montana. So why would we put money aside for that? Shoring up a failed pension system where you're guaranteed a benefit. I don't get a guaranteed benefit from my investment. I don't think you do either. So why would we not want to, why would we delay necessary reforms in our pension system by shoring up a failed system that is an increased unfunded liability to the tune of $4.3 billion for our state employees? So these are bad decisions. Now, technically and legally, they can make their case, and I would urge them to make their case. We're going to make ours, and we're going to let the constituents decide who's right. And because these are public officials, we put out their phone numbers, and we enabled our people to email them. Now, I'm not a public official, so you know we're not obligated to put out. I mean, great, thank you, Brad Barker, for putting out my name and phone number out there and email address. I wish I got more response. The only response I got was from a supporter who supported my position. So, in any case, and if you want to know more about AFP is doing, please respond. I'll get you on my e-newsletter. And you'll hear from us at least once every 2 weeks about our latest activities here in the state of Montana and on a federal level. Because
yeah, in fact, we've got a break coming up here in just a second. But before we get to the next topic, and if you can, stick around, Henry, because I want to talk about some federal issues as well. But, yeah, how can folks get a hold of you if they want to either agree or disagree with you or get your weekly newsletter or whatever? What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Sway, AFPMontana.com or BigSkyBlueprint.com. Sign up to be a volunteer. Just sign up to get our newsletter. That's the easiest and best way to do it. Easiest to remember, AFPMontana.com or BigSkyBlueprint.com.
Well, one of my favorite topics that you guys covered, not only at the state level but at the federal level as well, was this bill called the RAINS Act. Basically to rein in the bureaucracy from, you know, just being on autopilot. Anyway, I understand you've got a federal bill, a piece of legislation at the federal level that would focus specifically on the energy industry in particular and speeding things up on the Unleashing American Energy front. So Henry Kriegel, AFP Montana, if you can, stand by. We'll get to that topic coming up right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And what do we learn about these Afghan refugees? Biden, Harris, just like they said, border closed, border secure, border closed, border no, not, none of it, which is true. 76,000. They told us, Mayorkas, we're so proud of our resettlement thing. It's one of a source of great pride. Well, they had 5,000 plus flagged for national security concerns. They still let them into your country. 6,868 flagged for derogatory information, meaning ding, 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 five alarm fire. They let them in anyway. Nearly 1,000 flagged for fraud, 1,000 flagged for public safety. And we still have nearly 1,000 of them still at large that are national security risks. We have no idea where they are.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, with war in the Middle East, war in Europe, I mean, so many untold tens and tens of thousands of people have been suffering, and they are all in need of the bare necessities of life. They need food and water and medication and clothing and shelter. You name it, they need it. I told you about Maria, 85 years old, lives alone, nearly blind, broken hip, a Holocaust survivor, her father and brother murdered by the Nazis. Now, she still lives in her childhood home. She doesn't have indoor plumbing, no heat, it's bitter cold, and she barely has enough food to survive. Now, you can help us through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For example, a $25 gift will provide survival food boxes, and that's life-saving aid for people like Maria. Whatever you can donate, your generosity makes it all possible. Call now, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or online, just go to HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
It's December 4th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is...
C is for cookie. That's good enough.
Cookie Day, and we all know it's Cookie Monster's favorite day, but cookies can be traced back to the Persians in the 7th century A.D. and in Europe by the 14th century. So what's your favorite? Mine is simple, the delicious Toll House chocolate chip cookie. On this day in 1996, the first Mars rover launches from Cape Canaveral. Two modules. The second, the lightweight wheeled Mars rover named Sojourner, which became the first rover launched from planet Earth to operate outside cislunar space. The NBA's Orlando Magic tied the NBA record of fewest points scored since the inception of the 24-second shot clock, losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers 84-57 in 1996. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
When we...
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's throw it right back to our friend Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Montana. So, yeah, Henry, I kind of talked a little bit about the RAINS Act, which would rein in the bureaucracy, kind of across, you know, federal government. And then there was what you referred to as the Baby RAINS Act in the state, you know, from state-level legislation as well. But talk about this SPEED Act before Congress right now.
The SPEED Act basically accelerates the permitting process, and particularly for new energy development projects. We had Chairman Bruce Westerman of the House Natural Resources Committee come out to Bozeman, Montana, to participate in the Montana Chamber of Commerce and Governor Gianforte's Energy Summit just this past October. And this SPEED Act would accelerate and reduce the barriers to energy development projects. Apparently, there are 650 energy projects stuck in permitting purgatory. Pipelines, transmission lines, grid modernization. It takes longer to approve a project than to can actually build it, which is driving up the costs for everybody, for those in the energy sector, and ultimately passed down to consumers, in this case, families. So That's why the SPEED Act is really important. Good news is that it passed out of the House Natural Resources Committee, which is a major win. And it's now will go before the full House of Representatives anytime now. And so we're urging people to write in to and give support to Congressman Zinke and Congressman Downing, who are champions of energy development. They just need to know that back home in Montana, we're paying attention to what's going on in D.C. because what they do counts, and they got to know that we have their backs.
Well, and look at, I mean, when we did our Bidenomics tour with you guys at AFP Montana last year, this was one of the main things we hammered home with folks, or folks would hammer home with us. Nationwide, electricity inflation went up 30% under the Biden regime. And as Energy Secretary Chris Wright spoke at the cabinet meeting the other day, Trump in his first term actually increased electricity demand because he boosted the economy, but still lowered prices. The point is, you can do both. You can boost demand by boosting the economy and then also lower electricity prices by unleashing American energy. And this seems like a key to addressing that electricity inflation.
Absolutely, and this is really vital to lower overall costs for everything, because energy drives trucks, cars, our transportation system, the movement of goods and products across the great United States, which will only lower costs in the end to consumers. And I also think that this whole affordability mantra that both the left and the right are talking about is really a very, very critical issue in our time. We believe that the free market, less hindered by government oversight and unnecessary burdensome regulations, will speed up the process of bringing goods and services to the market and ultimately lower pricing.
That's
through
right.
The free market. The other side believes that the government should control everything. And we should tax the rich, and that's how we make things more affordable. There is a quick fix, feel-good, class warfare-type system, and ours is, we believe, in the power of the individual to innovate and create value for others.
We got to hold it there.
Here's the deal. We got to set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We got to make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Exhale very slowly. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.